Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, a Sports Byline production. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We're talking boxing and MMA today only on Sports Byline.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
The Hall of Famer, Bob Arum, of course, Mr. Top Rank. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show. Of course, he is part of the Tyson Fury team. They seem to not be able to close this deal with Anthony Joshua. Of course, a big fight over in the Mideast, allegedly. It's been signed 10 times. We'll talk about that in depth a little bit later. Last night, heavyweights win a battle. Of course, pay-per-view. I didn't buy it. Won't spend 55 or 60 bucks to watch this card. But I give them props. They did put it on pay-per-view. Of course, it was an entertaining fight. I'm talking about Chris Areola. Of course, 38 years old now. He lost. I mean, it was sort of expected. He was like in some sports books, he was like a 20-1 underdog. I kid you not. I mean, if you wanted to bet on Areola, you only got 10-1. But if you wanted to bet the other way, it was 20. Bottom line is, he lost on these scorecards, 118-109, 118-109, and 117-110. Now, while he probably doesn't doubt to the fact he lost, he does doubt the scores. I mean, because in the second round, he knocked Ruiz down, and then he got him up again, and he stumbled him again. So I'm saying to myself, you know, technically, that's probably a 10-7 round. I mean, there wasn't two knockdowns involved, but he stunned him again and made him wobble, and he had to take a couple backward steps, that kind of good stuff. So it could have been a 10-7 round. Anyway, definitely a 10-8 round without a doubt. So I guess the judges, that's all they gave Mr. Areola, was that one round, because with 118-109, 118-109, it means, like, you know, two rounds. They gave him that one round. That was it. 108 would have been a shutout. So they gave him that one round. Bottom line is, he won more than in one round, and I think I'll talk about that in depth. Bottom line is, let's hear both these guys post-fight.
You know, Chris Areola, he's a veteran. He's a hard puncher, and, you know, we did what we had to do. We won the victory, but remember, I was low to the lowest, and I have to come back to the ladders. Yep, keep booing, bro. It's all good. But like I said, we did what we got to do, and thanks to God that we got this victory, and now to the next.
It was an incredible battle. It started a little adverse for you in terms of the knockdown. Did he have you hurt in those early rounds?
Yeah, he got me with a good, clean right hand. I dropped my hand a little bit. I was too overconfident, but, you know, tops off to Chris Areola. He got me with a good one, but I kept going and I kept going. And you know what? We got the victory.
It's not as though you haven't been there before and come back. So how much did that experience that you've had in that Joshua fight help you to persevere in this fight?
Helped a lot, you know, but I felt a little rust, and I know other fighters could relate to that, but, you know, we did what we had to do, and we got the victory. But if he wants to run it back, we can run it back. We can have Chris Areola and Ruiz, too.
In terms of the championship rounds, it seemed as though in the eighth round you kind of found your rhythm. What adjustments did you make in the middle ground of this fight?
Just was trying to counterpunch and work the body. You know, we slowed him down a little bit, but I felt a little rusty, but, you know, on to the next.
You said you'd like to run this back. Is that what you want next?
If the promoter wants that and if the fans wants that, we can run it again right here.
Congratulations on a great win. I want to talk to Chris Areola really quick, because would you like to run this one back? I know you two have a lot of mutual respect for one another.
Absolutely, man. You know what? I respect the judges, but today I always said that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They like a butter face. Everything's pretty but their face. Honestly, man, did he win? Fine. But don't tell me you're only going to give me 2-3 rounds. That. I'm going to be like Dr. Dre. All y'all can...
I have to ask you about your shoulder. I just saw Jack Reese come to you. We saw it flinch a couple of different rounds. What's the story with the shoulder? Was it bothering you?
Nah, you know what? I got hit a couple times. One time in the shoulder, you kind of threw it off. But it ain't no big deal. It's part of boxing, man. In all honesty, we can run this back. Let's do it again, man. Because look at me. Look at my face. I'm still good. I'm still ugly, but I'm still good.
Chris Areola talking a good game afterwards. Of course, it was a pretty good fight. 12 rounds, a heavyweight competitive fight for 12 rounds, of course, but it was on pay-per-view, and I'm against paying for fights on pay-per-view that are not pay-per-view worthy. Now, a guy that knows a little bit about pay-per-view is my next guest. Of course, he's a retired HBO godfather, Mr. HBO himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir, and how's the godmama?
We're doing good, better. Things opening up. I went to a pre-fight dinner the other night. Hung out with some of my old homies, and here we are.
Okay. So you had a, was there a lot of people at this boxing meeting? We've got one the second Friday of May, and I'm going to attend. So like they're getting about 25 or 30 people. They used to get about 70.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
Okay.
But apparently it was an entertaining fight. I thought Areola coming in as light as he did was underplayed compared to what Ruiz did for himself, and that's why he was able to give, at his age, a strong performance against a very strong opponent.
Strong, and of course coming in at 250, and everybody's like lauding the fact that he lost all this weight. Still doesn't look like the most well-conditioned athlete in the world. Should he look well? Is that part of the makeup that he should look well-conditioned?
I think that if you're trying to sell yourself, which a fighter is, that it's a pretty good idea to look like a fighter. Maybe if people would fall in love with a roly-poly character, but it's a better idea to look like the role you're in.
Good point. Of course, we're talking with, of course, the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, Chris Areola. A little upset at the scoring last night. And Larry, you and I have talked about this before. It really doesn't matter the score. It really matters who wins. But I do understand his complaint here because, you know, he definitely won more than one round and he knocked him down in one round. And for the judges to only give him.
You know, Pedro, I think Ruiz was the house fighter in this case.
Obviously.
Everybody was rooting for Ruiz in the business. Because he did have a piece of the heavyweight championship for a brief time, but he showed he has some, you know, he's a better fighter than he looked, certainly at that time when he was weighing up in the 280s. But he made a remark somewhere along the way how he was on his way to going down to 245 maybe. And it's an and I think that he could be talked into the fact that had he not been in shape, he might not have survived the knockdown. He might not have had so much energy late in the fight. So hopefully he can take off another 5 or 10 pounds, look a little bit more like the role he has in life as a top heavyweight, and I'm happy it was a competitive fight. I was unhappy with the fact that the Los Angeles Times did not have a pre-fight article and did not have a reporter covering the event. They took the wire service report of the event.
Well, don't get mad at me for saying this because I come from the days of all the wire services, you two too, but thank God there was a wire service to cover it.
Okay. I agree, but the fact that two
ranked
Mexican-American heavyweights who have fought around here and are known around here, that there was no pre-fight story in the LA Times, no post-fight story by one of their reporters, could be a staggering blow to the game.
Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, the LA Times hasn't been, I can't remember, Earl Gutsky, I think, was the LA Times boxing writer, the guy who used to give me all kinds of play. Was that the guy who used to give me all kinds of play? And I got play in that column when I was doing radio and TV down there. He was a good guy.
Well, I'm not asking them. You know, today isn't 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is an event that should have been required writing and reading in the L.A. Times.
Especially considering they were both Mexican-American heavyweights. Larry Murch is our guest. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. We come back from the break. I'm going to talk, ask the Godfather about the origin of HBO boxing. Of course, the man. Was he the brains behind it? Ross Greenberg. That and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself? I feel good.
Godfather of Soul, the retired HBO Godfather line, of course, from Southern California, City of Angels. Larry, the origin of HBO boxing, was it Ross Greenberg by himself that came up with this idea, and were you working for HBO before they did boxing?
No. I was called in on a fight-by-fight basis before we and they understood that there was a yawning gap. The networks were giving up on boxing. Marvin Hagler had fought for us and was instrumental in showing the boxing world that there was some big bucks available at HBO, and it was a place to go and sell your merchandise. So, no, but I don't think it was Ross Greenberg. Ross was our executive producer, and he was instrumental in putting together the broadcast teams and new ways of showing price fights and so on. But Michael Fuchs, who was the first head of HBO, literally invented its style, and Seth Abraham were crucial in marketing and so on and so forth. So it was a corporate effort, let's put it that way.
Okay. And Seth Abraham, you know, of course, he's a guy that I was sort of blown away by at one time because I didn't know what a minch meant. And he called me a minch before the Hamed Barrera fight. And I went back to my hotel room. I didn't know what it was. I don't think we had the internet back then, but I had to get somebody. I had a Jewish friend of mine tell me, Pete, it's a good thing. I said, okay. But I didn't know. So I walked away thinking, Was he happy with me, or was he not happy with me? Anyway, he was a class act. Is he living in Australia? Is that what you told me?
Who?
Seth Abraham?
No, he lives on the Upper East Side of New York, and we're still in constant contact.
What is constant contact? Is he in the sports still? Is he in the boxing? He used to play tennis. He still play tennis?
He still plays a lot of tennis, several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's always a guy who's maintained his conditioning. He's got a lovely home and wife, Lynn, mm-hmm. and some grandchildren. He spends summers on a farm north of the city, so he's doing pretty good for himself.
Well, that's good. You know, he left HBO and went to Madison Square Garden, I believe, and took over that entire arena. When you take over Madison Square Garden, what does that mean? You're just taking over like you're the guy taking care of the arena? What does that mean when he was president of Madison Square Garden?
You know, I don't know. I think he,
because they had a TV network,
honcho, which means that he was oversaw the Knicks and the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Whose home court and ice the garden was, and I don't know whether he was responsible for hiring coaches and firing general managers or any of that stuff. But They were also rebuilding the garden, I think. So he was an executive producer, and he did produce great things at HBO.
No doubt about that. Talking about Ross Greenberg, and of course, I confuse him for...
No, talking about Seth Abraham.
Exactly, and I was about to say they were talking about Seth Abraham, and I confuse him with Ross Greenberg not once but twice. Thank you for correcting me, sir. I'm getting old. Can
okay,
you believe
thank
that?
Thank you for taking it well.
You know, bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Godfather Larry Merch is on the line, coming to us from Southern California. Larry, this Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight, they've been talking about it for months. They've went to training camp two different times and broke training camp two different times. Is this going to happen?
It's hard to see how it won't happen, given the amount of money it's going to generate. You know, maybe going to the Middle East. Hopefully it would happen at Wembley, but I can't imagine that it won't happen.
Is the Middle East going to be able to support the fight by itself? Do you think people want to go to the Middle East to see a fight? Do you think they would go over there for a sporting event? I would be a slight bit hesitant.
Well, I can understand that, but in particular in Dubai, they've put up a lot of front money to create that area of the Middle East as a tourist attraction. That they're the good guys, not the bad guys, and that you're safe there.
Mm.
They've had several fights already, and I imagine they would bid pretty high to get that fight.
Yeah, Godfather, I spent 11 days in Dubai, and all I saw was hookers and burkas. That's all, and I didn't engage in the hookers. I mean, that's what you saw.
How long ago was that, Pedro?
I guess about 2012.
Yeah, well,
Godfather, you remember that trip? I went over there and I got back to the airport. My airline ticket wasn't paid for after I checked it. It was paid for before I left San Francisco. When I got to the airport in Dubai, it wasn't paid for, so I had to pay $1,800 to get on a plane to come home. And then, of course, And the check that I got for $12,000, you don't think that check didn't bounce, do you?
Well, when you go abroad, you better be have some guarantees up front.
Well, I didn't have the HBO banner behind me or anything like that. I was just an independent guy on my own.
But on the other hand, here you are talking about it all these years later.
Well, yeah, but good Lord, that was a bad trip. I mean, to lose 15 grand on a trip where you're supposed to like make 15 grand and you end up losing 15 grand, it's just not a good thing. Anyway, on to another subject. You talked about Marvin Hagler, his recent passing. Have they ever attributed it to anything in particular? I heard he had cancer, but they're not saying anything. Do you know?
Well, I've heard that they're saying now it was a heart attack.
Okay.
Marvin was wound very tight.
Ooh, the tightest.
And he was angry at the way the gods of the boxing universe didn't seem to shine on him, and that he had to work harder than anybody else to get where he got. He went out and fought the puncher Hearns like a puncher in the best fight of that era. He went out and tried to outbox Sugar Ray Leonard, a big mistake, and blew that fight. And he was wound pretty tight. But you would think his end came the way we all hope prize fighters would end their careers. He lost to Leonard. He was offered $10 million or more for a rematch. It was such a big event. And he just said, that's it, I'm gone. So it's a little mysterious, as you suggest, and disturbing that at the age of 66, a guy who who played by the rules and fought by the rules should go that quickly.
But you can understand his bitterness. I mean, I could 50-something fights before he even got a world title shot.
Well, you're right. And he was bitter, but the bitterness
came back.
Turned the bitterness into aspiration, and that he wasn't going to let those gods let him down. He was going to win them over, and he did.
He overly respected Duran, lost to Leonard, and had the war with Hearns, and of course the war with Mugabe. Can we say that he made his bones basically on the smaller guys?
Well, three of those guys are smaller guys, but they were great fighters who won, who beat other fighters in that weight class. But maybe he did, but he did it in style, and you add to that the fact that every one of his fights was fought at middleweight, starting when he was in his early 20s into his mid-30s. He never fought in another division, which is a testimony to his
dedication.
Yes, and that he made it happen, but I don't know that it was as joyful a ride as it has been for other outstanding fighters.
Godfather, with that, I say kiss the God Mama. We'll talk next week. Have a great week, sir.
You too, Pedro.
Retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame. More honored to have him each and every week. I'm talking about Mr. Larry Merchant right here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Baby, 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 baby.